We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 10th chapter, the 16th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing how the Assyrian Empire takes the credit. Sanherib, the Assyrian king, assumes that his success is due to his own military acumen, his military might, his brilliance. And Hashem says, that's ridiculous. I'm the one that allowed him to have this success. He assumes there's no difference between all the other nations and their pagan gods and Israel and me, God says. And that's not so. And the Navi used the metaphor. He says, have you ever seen a hatchet take pride over the man who wields it? Have you ever seen a saw take pride over the man who uses it? Have you ever seen a stick say, I swing myself in the air? So Hashem says, it's not so. He is simply my staff. I have sent Sanherib, the Assyrian emperor, to attack Israel. And if he doesn't recognize that, I will teach him. So the Navi continues in Pasuk Tetvav. Lachein yishalach ha'adon Adonai tzevaot b'mishmanav razon. Hashem says, therefore I will teach him. I will take mishmanav, the corpulent among him, those that are fat among him, those that are super satiated among them, because of their pride, I will send razon. I will make them wither. I will make them emaciated. V'tachat kevodo yekad yekod kikod esh. And the places where he took pride, where he assumed he was so powerful, those places will burn like a fire. His men will be killed by the angel, and it'll be as though they were killed by a fire. And that's people will look down and scorn him. Look, he was so proud. He thought he'd take down Jerusalem, and in one night he lost his whole army. So tachat kivodo, in place of his honor, where he takes pride, yekad yekod kikodesh, that's the fire will burn like a human fire. Vaya o Yisrael leish, the light of Israel will be like a fire. Ukedosho lehava, and the Holy One of Israel, God, will be like a flame. Uvara ve'achela shito ushmiro biyom echad, and that fire will burn and consume all his thorns in one day. And the Navi is comparing Sanherib's officers to thorns. Just as a thorn can inflict pain, so too his officers were inflicting pain on Israel. And just as the thorn is all dry and it burns easily, so too Hashem will easily destroy all of Sanherib's men. Uchvod ya'aro v'chal milo, and the glory of his forest. And Carmel is the name of a forest. So it's like saying the honor of his forest and his Yellowstone. It's like Yellowstone Park. It's got many trees. So that's over here. The idea is the honor of his forest and the honor of his affluence. Minefesh vad basar yechale. God will destroy them from the soul to the flesh. That the angels will not only kill them from within, but even their bodies on the outside will be burnt. Vehaya kimsos noses, and that nation will be. So here we have different interpretations. What does it mean? Kimsos noses. One understanding is that there's this worm that destroys clothing, and it makes them crumble. As it eats the clothing, it leaves behind all kinds of crumbs, and so too his nation will be like the wood or the clothing that are destroyed by this worm. And then kimsos, like the crumbling of noses. Noses is the name of the worm. So that's what his army will look like. ושאר עץ יערו מספר יהיו, and the remaining trees of his forest, meaning the remaining soldiers at the end of this plague, will be a small number that v'nar yichtevim, even a small child, a young lad, will be able to count them and take an accounting of how many soldiers are left. So from this huge army that numbered over 250,000 soldiers, he's going to be left with a few soldiers. Who was one of those soldiers? Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar was one of those soldiers who was spared during the plague, and then Nebuchadnezzar went on to build his own empire, the Babylonian Empire. Vaya bayom ahu. On that day, when everyone sees this great miracle, lo yosifod she'al Yisrael ufleitat beit Yaakov lehisha'in al makehu. So the remnants of Israel will see the miracle where they didn't stand a chance, and Hashem saved them with a great miracle. An angel comes and kills the Assyrian army, and then they will no longer lean on those that beat them. Our initial situation was that we had no self-confidence. We didn't believe we could stand up to any enemy. So what we did was we'd make peace treaties with the enemies. We'd placate them. We'd make a peace treaty with the Egyptians. We tried to make a peace treaty with the Assyrians. We're always trying to make peace. Let's pay our way out of it. And Hashem says, after that great miracle, our confidence will be restored and we will no longer lean on those that hit us.
What's the great miracle?
That in one night, this whole army was killed. We didn't lift the sword.
What does it say, Assyrian army?
Assyrian, the Ashur, the Assyrian army. V'nishan al Adonai, Kedosh Yisrael, be'emet. But rather, Israel will lean on Hashem, who is the Holy One of Israel, and they will lean on Him in truth. That's always a scary word. We say that in davening a few times, right? Be'emet. It's easy to lean on God when we fake it. You know, sure, I count on God, but I count on my boss too, and on my savings account. I had a friend who told me once that when his grandmother passed away, so she left them an inheritance. They had $100,000 in the bank, and he was working, and his wife was working, and whenever they needed, they'd take from that account. So he said, then they did the tshuva process, and they kept thinking how they have such bitachon. They always they rely on Hashem until they finished that bank account. Then suddenly their whole bitachon changed. They suddenly realized that their bitachon was on the bank account. They figured, hey, things will work out. We can do this. It's very hard to lean on Hashem in truth. Different people at different stages of their lives are prepared to do different things, and sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes a person calls it bitachon, when really it's silliness.
Do you think that's why it says, like in the, I think it's Shemot, where it says, you know, be careful when you wax fat, because you're going to think you made it on your own. You're going to think it's grandma, not Hashem provided for grandma. When you have nothing and no way of anything coming, you're kind of forced to realize it's all Hashem. But when you have these other things, you can easily delude.
I'm just saying the flip side of it is that sometimes a person says, okay, I'm going to rely on their bon shalom, and he does stupid things. This month, I met with someone who was trying to convince an investor to invest in a business he was starting up. So the investor looked over the business and said, I don't think it's going to succeed. So the guy says, have faith in God. So the investor says, I do, but I don't think he supports stupid things. You know, I don't think your business venture is going to succeed. So I'm saying people sometimes take this idea and they misapply it.
Sure.
They say, I have faith in Hashem, but it's not working.
Right. Real faith is, if it doesn't work, that's also Hashem, and he's doing me a favor in a way I don't know. Right?
But sometimes it's our stupidity.
Right. The price for our free will is that we can make stupid decisions. True.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This pasuk is important, but it shouldn't be misapplied.
That's why I said the clarification.
She'al Yashuv, She'al Yaakov. The remnants of Israel will return, the remnants of Jacob. El El Gibor, to Hashem who is so mighty. Then they will repent and return. Remember, we're talking about a time where the majority of Israel left the Judean king. The majority of Israel was willing to turn over Jerusalem into the Assyrian hands. You had Rav Shakeh, who led a rebellion from within the walls of Jerusalem. The average citizen in Jerusalem looked at the pious King Chizkiyahu and said, "Well, he's a ninny. He eats a little bit of dry bread every day. He drinks a little bit of wine. Look at Rav Shakeh. He has pheasants for breakfast. He has pheasants for lunch. Look at him. Now that's a king. This corpulent fellow, Rav Shakeh, who would sit there and consume mounds of meat every day." So the average person in Jerusalem looked up to him. They said, that's what a king should look like. And then Rav Shakeh tried to take the whole kingdom from Chizkiyahu, and he led a rebellion where the majority of Jerusalem backed Rav Shakeh, and Hashem turned the tide on him. Hashem made it that, as we learned a few weeks ago, he ended up being killed by the Assyrian Empire, and all his men stayed in Jerusalem. And now the great miracle happens, and everyone sees Chizkiyahu was right all along, so you have a huge tshuva that has to happen. Because over 50% of the people weren't backing Chizkiyahu in his piety. On the contrary, they looked down at his piety.
Rav Shakeh was the king of Israel?
Rav Shakeh was an officer. He was in a high position.
And he led a rebellion to become the king of Yehuda.
Correct. Okay, we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next week.